Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. If you are looking for a musical to see, today's episode is for you. If you're in Toronto, Ontario, the weekend of March 23rd and 24th of 2024, make sure to check out the Dr. Bird Productions production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, playing at the Winchester Street Theater. Here they are to tell us a little bit more about the production and themselves is Manuel Adrian Mizzi, Ethan Rottenberg, and Emilia Ballester. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Awesome. Now, before we get into the production and everything that goes on with that, we got to know who you are, because if we don't know you, we don't know why you're putting on the production. Manuel, we're going to start with you. Who are you in 30 seconds?
Oh, who am I in 30 seconds? Okay. I'm the artistic director of Dr. Bird. I'm actually acting in Hunchback, so I got to play Quasimodo in this production. I am a singer, I am a teacher, I am a husband, I am a father, I am a pet owner. I think that's me in a nutshell.
Okay, you can't just leave it a pet owner. What pet?
I have two cats. I have okay. Two cats.
Acceptable. Mm-hmm. You can stay on the show.
Thank you.
I don't know. Emilia, who are you in 30 seconds?
Who am I? I am a dancer. I'm an artist. I'm a choreographer. I'm learning how to act and sing. I'm a performer. I am also, I'm a wife. I'm a pet owner of a dog, a beautiful Mexican hairless slash boxer. And so happy to be in Hunchback.
Nice. And Ethan, 30 seconds. Who are you?
I am a music director. I'm very fortunate to be music director with Manuel for Dr. Bird. I've also got a bit of a background in theater and acting. That's what I studied a lot more when I was younger. And I would just say overall, I'm a very creative person who likes, you know, aside from music and the arts in general, like to have very kind of creative outlets in their life.
Nice. Do you have any pets?
I used to with my family way back when.
All right. I don't want to cause dissension, but cat or dog? Ethan picked dog. Okay. I don't want to cause any problems within the company, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm definitely a dog person here.
Okay. Manuel, I'm with you, cat. Okay. So you're gonna win this interview. Whatever that means. Okay, so let's talk about Dr. Bird Productions, because we need to know how we got to Hunchback. So tell us a little bit how that got created.
I had met Ethan years prior to starting the company, and he was the musical director on a ragtime production that I was jumping into a role in. So I got to perform with him, and then I was directing a show, I think a season or two later, I was directing a show and I asked him to be in the show. So then he came and acted under me, which was kind of cool because we got to be in, you know, opposite roles. And then I told him in that production, I said, you know what, we're going to work together on a much larger scale. I said, I know, I don't know where and I don't know when, but I said, it's going to happen. And a couple of years later, I was sitting on my couch on a very, very cold February day, very close to actually this date. And I was watching my children play and I was like, you know what? I have a little bit of time on my hands. Why not start a production company? So thus it began. Thus it began on that cold February day and grew into where we are today on our second production.
And Ethan, when he approached you on that, what was going through your head?
Well, so actually the production, the second production we worked on, I remember it was actually a very cool show. It's Masterclass by Terrence McNally, the Maria Callas play. So I was actually doing a little bit of acting, mostly just playing the piano accompanist role. So I got to work with Manuel on the director's side, because previously it was just he stepped in last minute to Ragtime, and did a really great job as Henry Ford. So now I got to see him as a director and seeing how visionary he was and how much passion he had behind the material. It was very inspiring, and I guess it didn't quite hit me at that time when even when he said it to me. Just like you said, a year or two later, I think it was during the pandemic, because obviously no one was doing much at that time anyways. And he emailed me and he's like, I want to do this. And I said, let's do Sweeney Todd, just not even thinking twice about it. And so that was our before Amelia joined us. Our first production in October was Sweeney Todd. And then that went really well. And actually Amelia's husband played our Pirelli, Carlos. So we got to know her through that. And then for Hunchback, when we had a much bigger cast and just more going on, we just sort of thought, why don't we get someone in to help with the staging and just making sure everything looks really sharp. And Amelia, she came in and took it another step further and added some really great choreography, not just for certain people, but for the whole 50 people we have on stage. So it's really cool to see how this is just dominoed one thing on top of the other, from my point of view at least. And I just feel very fortunate to be able to work with both of them.
Now, before we get to Amelia and her choreography, I'd like to know what made you choose The Hunchback as one of your shows?
Because it's such a it's like the rare show in music theater, I think, where the ensemble almost does more work than the lead roles, not just in terms of importance, but amount of material and sort of carrying the show on their shoulders. It's just a very beautifully complex show that also it's a great way to incorporate a lot of people, because there's a lot of people in the city that want to be in something, and not everyone necessarily wants to spend 3 nights, 4 nights a week doing it, so if we made it sort of balanced to be challenging and interesting enough, but also not too much of a strenuous time commitment, I think that pattern has worked out for us. And I thought Hunchback would be great because there's such a variety of stuff. You've got the Gregorian chants, and then you've got your typical Broadway brashy music, and then there's other very cool avenues of sound that they explore in the score that a lot of shows never even touch. I could talk more about it later, but yeah, that's it was a huge draw for me.
Fantastic. So, Amelia, a couple of questions. So, what was it like when they approached you? What did you think? And then when they approached you with The Hunchback, did you know anything about it already?
I did. I did know about Hunchback, but not in the complexity that it is that now I'm understanding it. Because I've always worked as a dancer. So I've back in Mexico City, we never worked with sheet music or anything. So now having the sheet music with me was been like, oh my God, okay. So there's a whole other language I need to learn and I need to understand and work very closely to the music. And this has been such a beautiful challenge for me because I've been able to explore my dancing even further thanks to understanding this new language that it's always been there. It's just like now I get it more. But yeah, when I applied for this and Carlos was like, my husband was like, hey, so I reached out to Manny. I told him to that you can be a choreographer. And I was like, okay, yes. I definitely want to do this. Like this is amazing. This is such a great opportunity for me because it's an amazing show. It's beautiful. The music is beautiful. The story is amazing. And so yeah, it's been a journey and it's been so interesting for me.
Manuel, as you're in the show, and you're also directing it, correct?
Yes.
What kind of response was that?
It's a lot of hats to wear. It's a lot.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. You are a little bit of everything now. You're producing it. You're directing it. You're in it. Tell us about your experience with the show so far.
To tell you the truth, it's so nice to have people like Ethan and Amelia and some of the other production team, because I can lean upon them. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of think very similarly, which is scary sometimes to be in a room and hear someone say what you've been thinking. It sometimes throws me. I know that I've been in the room, especially with Amelia in this show, and she'll say something and I look at her and I'm like, how did you just know what I was thinking? Like, how is that possible? You know, and it's someone I've never worked with before. And I can say the same thing has happened many times with Ethan. You know, even though this has been many times in that we've worked, everything is new, right? It's new material. And like you said, it's so intricate. It's so many different levels, knowing that there's this like Greek chorus that's kind of telling the story and kind of leading us through it. And then smaller little choruses within it, like the gargoyles telling their story and Quasimodo having a relationship with them. Kind of in his head, I guess you could say. It's crazy. So it has been madness trying to do all of the roles, and I will not do this, you know, in every show moving forward, because I want to have some time to kind of, you know, play with some of the things that I like to do. Mm-hmm. I love to produce and, you know, see where my vision goes and put it on into play. But yeah, it's challenging. It's very, very challenging.
Ethan, let's talk about the music a bit. It's Menken, right? Alan Menken. So you can't go Absolutely. Wrong with that. But tell us a little bit about your opinion of the songs. You know, what works for you? What do you love about it? What drew you to it?
Well, okay. First of all, I'll say yes, it is Menken, but it's also Stephen Schwartz who wrote the lyrics. Mm. So it's like a very powerhouse combo of composer lyricist. I think, first of all, one thing I really love is how it expands upon the songs that were in the movie, and it's like, in my opinion, it's just one of these adaptations where I think it's almost better on stage, and it didn't lose something in translation. I think it gained a lot. I mean, just the very opening is this traditional Gregorian chant, Olim Deus Accelere. And like, even that, it's just, what musical out there starts like that, like with this big choral sound? I love just the variety of music and sort of how effortless it seems to mix it. Like, you've got this constant chorus in the background. There's like a specific choir part in the score, actually, and then there's supposed to be a separate ensemble. In our production, we're actually basically merging it, so everyone's pretty much the choir the entire time, and then we're picking people out here and there as we need them. So having just this big wall of sound in the background pretty much almost the entire time is magnificent. It almost doesn't matter what they're singing about. But then, yeah, you've got very traditionally sort of melodic songs like God Help the Outcasts, Someday, In a Place of Miracles, Top of the World. Like, those are very like tuneful, earwormy songs. But then you get like, it's called Tavern Song or Tidemol Pias, which is in the Romani language, which is, it's most of the show is in English. There's the Latin, and then there's occasionally a little bit of French thrown in, because of the French context. But then there's this one song in this completely different language, and it's just this stunning arrangement, not just harmony, but the way the lyrics sound in conjunction with it. And again, it's just this effortless foray into this one world of music. And then we don't get anything like that for the rest of the piece. But I just kind of can't get over how, yeah, it just... I keep saying it, but just how effortlessly it ties everything together and yet has so much variety in it, instead of just sticking with one sound and making that sound work really well. And I think like for the ensemble, it's been a bit of a challenge with the Latin, but they're definitely getting a hold of it. And like, it's been very rewarding from like the first rehearsal to like right now where we are in rehearsals, how to hear them sound, go from sounding like 50 people singing together in a room to starting to sound more cohesive and unified. And it just sort of, it causes everything to lift off the page and like it seems more like greater than the sum of its parts. So anyways, I could go on and on, but I'll stop it there.
Amelia, let's talk about the choreography, because as Ethan said, it's variety of sounds and styles. When you got the music, how did you approach putting the choreography together?
So it's been interesting because it's been because we're still doing a concert, so mm-hmm. I cannot do like a full on show with everybody dancing and everybody doing like. We'll get there. But the thing is here, what I have to do is like divide what we're doing front and what we're doing in the back. Mm-hmm. And that has been helping so much to me to be like, okay, what is the ensemble doing at this point? What are they singing? And what is happening in the front? And how can I like divide and incorporate that story together? Because the choreography is the story that the music is telling us. It's just with our bodies. So it's been very interesting dividing that and just doing two choreos for each, really. So the ensemble is doing one thing, everybody in front is doing another thing, and it has to blend. So that's been, honestly, it's been so easy for me to just divide it and make it blend so that everything looks cohesive and everything looks like it makes sense what we're looking at.
Very cool. So we've met you now, the production team. Manuel, tell us a little bit about the cast themselves, who's in it and that sort of thing.
So there are 51 people other than myself who are in the show, which is just amazing. I can't tell you what it feels like to know that there are 51 people who are trustful enough to want to work with a team that they've never worked with before, for the majority of them. I mean, a few of them we've worked with in other capacities, but so just the trust that they've given us. So some people are new to the stage completely. Some people are musical theater fanatics, and they've been in many shows, including working with a few of us here. Some people just do this as a hobby. And some people are professionals who, like myself, have found other things to do in life that, you know, have, I guess, taken us further in other things that we do and just want another place to be able to go out and feed that part of them, that part, that artistic part that they have. So it's a wide variety of people, all different ages, which is amazing. And I think the great thing is that we're able to utilize so many of their strengths because there's so many people, so Amelia has found some people who have some dance strengths. And then there are some people who have a little bit of comedic timing, oddly enough. One of the numbers that Amelia is doing, she has a few people in the front. It's during Topsy Turvy. So it's the number where the gypsies get there one day to kind of, be themselves. Mm-hmm. And she brings a few people forward to do a little bit of movement, but it's almost a chance for these people to kind of show off a little bit of their personality. And funny enough, I wasn't realizing it, I think, until I had taken a few pictures of the cast, and then I had walked away, not looking at the pictures for a couple of days, and then I was flipping through these pictures, and I was like, whoa! I was like, there, that is the reason we do it. For those faces where you see their eyes just lit up, for those moments that you capture. And so it is a big cast, but just a phenomenal group of people to work with.
That's awesome. Yeah, having people from a variety of backgrounds and passions and skills, it's always fun, because even they all bring their own experiences and skills and discovering Like, ooh, you can do that? Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's been the best thing for us, is finding those things. You know, I think that even as we grow as a company and grow as a team and whatnot, we're going to now be able to see and utilize so many of those things that these people have shown us, you know? And that's, you know, I think where Ethan talks about greater than the sum, you know, or the sum being greater than the parts, because all of us together make this amazing piece of art, you know, and we all bring something totally different to it. And then we kind of find a way to make it as seamless as possible as we fit ourselves in together.
Very cool. Very nice. I'm going to ask this for all of you. Is putting on a show, you get in depth with it and you discover it. Is there anything that you discovered in the show? And Ethan, I'm going to start with you, that has stuck with you, or you've discovered that you went, oh yes, because it relates to you, or something like that, that touches you.
I would say definitely the message it sends. I knew it already, but then, you know, seeing the movie as a kid is not the same as like doing the musical when you're an adult and having gone through life on that end. So just this message about including people that are typically outcast by society, you know, hence the song God Help the Outcasts. Like it, that does resonate with me, because I think in a way, you know, theater often can be a really great avenue for people that feel like they don't fit into other mainstream social settings or groups or whatever. You know, it's a great recluse, you know, and I certainly feel like I'm one of those people that can fit into that. And so for me, it speaks very strongly, and that's what I'll say.
Amelia?
I think the same. Like, I think it's just such a powerful message. It's such a powerful show. The music is so powerful. And I think I've been trying to make it justice with the movement, so that not only we can talk about the story, but we can talk about how everybody feels in that moment, and how every character has something to give to the audience. I think Ethan put it in more beautiful words, but it's such a powerful, amazing message that we need to talk about it more. We just need to do the right interpretation of it as artists, as creatives.
Manuel?
You know, it's funny. I think that growing up in this, I guess, Disney world for us, right? We grew up with these pieces. There's a part of this that's so nostalgic, right? That brings you back to what it was like watching for the first time and acting it out, you know, with your stuffed toys, I guess. But there's been a whole other level for me, you know, even seeing the way that Quasimodo interacts with the gargoyles.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. I think that if you've watched, you know, as you watch, you know, Hollywood films, and you see this devil and angel that sits on people's shoulders, and, you know, one more point they're listening to the good, another point they're listening to the bad. But it's even more than that. It's and I see it with my children as they're playing with their toys. It's, there's these cheerleaders that, and, you know, they may not always be cheering for you in the right direction, but it's the cheering that's helping. It forwards Quasimodo's ability to have emotion. You know, Frollo doesn't allow him to think and to feel. So when Frollo's not there and he's with these stone characters, he's able to, I don't know, find the bits of himself that those inner child moments, those moments that are playful, those moments that he can maybe love, those moments that he can maybe show that he actually can hate, that he's allowed to hate, that he's allowed to be human. You know, his, oddly enough, Frollo wants him to be stone, you know, but he's realizing by having this relationship with these, with this cheer section, that he's so much more than that, you know? And I love that, that aspect of it. I think that it just speaks to so much about life and how we should be allowed to be, and to find the places that, like Ethan said, those places that we can be ourselves and discover ourselves, if that makes any sense.
Well, let's talk about how do people get to the show. So the websites, any information, the socials, how do people go see Hunchback?
Cool. So our website is www.drbirdproductions.com. There is a link on there on the ticket page to buy tickets. That will link through to Eventbrite, where you can purchase tickets. We also have an Instagram and a Facebook. And oddly enough, I think that we had talked about Paulina Michiani, our new social media director. She's working with us to get the word out. And she's been doing some phenomenal things on the socials. So I think we're at Dr. Bird Pro, I think is the Instagram. How terrible is that? I don't even know. Yeah, I think so.
Search up Dr. Bird on Instagram. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yes. Awesome. Well, congratulations to the three of you on getting the show up. As I mentioned off the air, unfortunately, I'm going to be in New York, so I'm not going to be able to see it, but I'm pretty sure it will be fantastic, and you'll have to keep in touch for the next season and let me know. We'll come on and we can do this all over again to promote the shows, because, you know, we got to, in this business, we got to help each other and promote each other, and especially local people. You're in Toronto. How can I not want to help you and promote you and get you out there? So thank you to you all, and all the best with the production.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's really fantastic what you're doing as well, I have to say. So awesome. Thank you
so for nice the people out there that want to help, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for this space.
Awesome. All right. So we were just speaking with Manuel, Amelia, and Ethan, the production team of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Dr. Bird Productions presentation, playing at the Winchester Street Theater in Toronto, March 23rd and 24th of 2024. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about the life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.